Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read, Genesis chapter 24 and verse 31. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 31, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." The book of Genesis, chapter 24 and verse 31. "And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." We see here beautifully set forth in the case of Abraham's servant going forth to seek a wife for Isaac, the wonderful leading of the Lord in the whole matter. Abraham, who was the friend of God, gave to his servant that great commandment and instruction to go and seek a wife for his son Isaac. And what a great weight and burden that was to the dear man. You know, there are things the Lord lays upon his dear people that are a great weight and burden to them. And what a great exercise this calls the dear servant. But what did he do in it all? Well, there may be those of us here today that have got great burdens and exercises and concerns upon us. And what do we do with them? Some of you may say, what shall we do? It's often the question, isn't it? But Abraham's servant was given wonderful wisdom. Firstly, where to look. It was no use him looking to himself or to his master, Abraham. The only place he had to go was to the Lord himself. And how he was enabled to commit all the great burden that was upon him to the Lord and to leave it in his hand. You know, in going to the Lord in any matter, the sinner is going to the right place. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Fain we would slight or doubt him, but when all the means we prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we come, we fly. Well, this is where the dear servant went, to the Lord himself. Secondly, we see how wonderfully the Lord went before him. You know, it's a wonderful thing to watch the Lord going before us. There's many occasions during God's holy word where the Lord went before his dear people. He went before Joseph down into Egypt, didn't he? he went before Noah in the wonderful building of the ark. And he went before the dear disciples after the resurrection into Galilee, because there they should find him. And there are many other occasions. He went before Joshua in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And here the Lord wonderfully went before him. And you see, the Lord never works by halves. You can see beautifully in this case, the Lord was working wondrously in the heart and life of the servant with this commission upon him. But too, the Lord was working in Rebecca. It's a wonderful thing when you see the Lord working not only in one place, but in the other as well. This is applied on many occasions with two being joined together in matrimony. The Lord working in the dear man, and then too in the dear woman, bringing them together. But then the Lord was pleased to answer the prayer of the dear servant. And let us just examine that a little, because what he prayed for, he was almost asking a thing that was impossible, that Rebecca should come forth when we got to the well, and that she would say. And you notice, you can read the chapter closely at your leisure, and you'll find that she said exactly what he prayed she would say. Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And why I say she was asking an impossibility, was because I understand that the camels normally don't ever drink where those drink themselves, the people. So when she said, drink and I will give thy camels drink also, she was wonderfully fulfilling his desire, and the Lord so overruled it, that's what she should do. But then, oh, how wonderfully the Lord was to work and go before the servant further. As soon as she came forth and said what she did, what did the servant do? He fell down before the Lord and worshipped him in real praise. You know, we often pray for this or for that, don't we? Whether it's for our souls or in the pathway. But how often do we, when the Lord answers us, how often do we give the praise? Now, this dear servant was a well-exercised man. He didn't take the burden that was laid upon him lightly. It was such a great weight, he took it, as I've said, to the Lord. And the Lord heard him and answered him. And then he gives the praise, doesn't he, to the Lord. The glory to his God. And may the Lord help us continually to give him the glory. The benefit is ours. It's like the hymn writer said, the benefit is ours. The glory belongs to the Lord. And so that's what he was enabled to do. But then how would Laban and Bethuel and the household receive this dear man? We may say as a stranger to them, but he was no more stranger or foreigner. The Lord had so gone before and shown to Laban and Bethuel as they listened to the words of Rebekah, what she said. And we read this, and Rebekah had a brother and his name was Laban, and Laban ran unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And what did he say? Were the words of our text. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. You see, the Lord had worked wondrously even in Laban in this matter. Oh, he had. So he was enabled to say this. Now, before I look at the text, there's one further thing we need to prayerfully consider, and that was that the Lord had shown to Laban what he was doing and what he was going to do. It was all revealed to him. And that's why he could speak like he did. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord reveals to his dear people what he is doing, maybe concerning another. Now remember, if I may just say this, when I had the first invitation to preach at East Peckham back in the 13th of February 1966, that was the Lord's day I was asked to go. As soon as I received the invitation, I went to see the dear old deacon, Mr. Ralph. And when I got there, I begged of the Lord that the Lord would go before me in it. And he would show the dear man what to read and what to say to me. And I shall never forget it. I went to the house begging the Lord, like the servant, would go before me. And the devil said to me on the way, oh, but when you get there, he won't receive you. But when I knocked on that door, I shall never forget it, the dear man, you know, he opened the door. In many ways, he was a strange man, but in this matter, it was wonderful to me. He opened the door and welcomed me in very kindly and friendly. And we talked for a few moments about different things, and then I said to him, "Will you just read from the Word of God?" And I felt whatever he read would be the answer, if I got to accept it or no. And he read that beautiful 62nd chapter in Isaiah. And how does it begin? "For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace." And you know, that went right home into my heart. And then he prayed, and I told him mine errand, like the servant did here. He told them his errand, what he'd come for. And the dear man, he said to me, "Well, if you don't go, you're smart for it." And you see, the Lord not only worked in me, and this exercise, and sent the invitation the Lord did, and he worked in the dear man and showed him exactly what to read. And I didn't say a word to him what I was in until he'd read. You know, look at Abraham's servant, you see, the Laban and then the house of Bethel. The Lord had shown them this was a gracious, discerning man, designed to do the Lord's business and the Lord's will. And what did they say? "Come in." Beautiful word, isn't it, really? Come in. And, you know, really, it's a gospel word to sinners. Come. The hymn writer said, "Come whosoever will." We read in the Revelation, don't we, in that last chapter, that beautiful word described so beautifully, when the Lord said, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely." They shall come. Whosoever will. That reaches out to the worst of sinners. It reaches out to those that feel far off. Come. It's the words of the Saviour, isn't it? Really, what was spoken to the servant here was what the same as Jesus said when in Matthew 11, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And what a mercy it is if we're coming sinners to a precious Jesus. What did Jesus say? "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." There's no doubt about it. All those that were given by the Father to his beloved Son to suffer, bleed and die, they shall come unto me. And then he goes further, "And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out," and he won't pour soul. I love what the hymn writer said, "He will not send them empty back, nor fright them from the door." They didn't send him back, did they? Here. Or fright him from the door. They said, "Come in." And you know, that will be the desire of a well-exercised church. concerning those that they are praying for and longing for the Lord to bring, come in. Sweet invitation, isn't it? To poor, needy sinners, come in. And then he goes further. Thou blessed of the Lord. See the discernment here in Laban concerning it. He could discern this man was a blessed man. He'd been blessed with answers to his prayers. He'd been blessed with the Lord's presence. He'd been blessed with those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus. It was seen. It was evident. You know, a person doesn't have to speak to reveal these things. And what I mean is this. You know, the old discerning souls, and sadly there's not so many about today as there were in our early days, they could discern without a sinner saying a word whether the grace of God was in them. Because it was evident by what they loved and how they walked, the company they kept. He was seen. We think of that word, I've often quoted it in the Acts of the Apostles. They took knowledge of them, that they'd been with Jesus. It was seen, it was evident. I remember the late Mr. Woodcraft, the Lord's aged servant of God, he said, you know, there are those that we so love in Zion, because not what they've said, but he said it's how they live and they walk. And he said I could receive them without them saying a word, because their lives and acts have expressed the very gospel they profess. Come in. It reaches out, you see, to the needy sinner. Oh, it does. Come in. Thou blessed of the Lord. That's a wonderful word, thou blessed. In two ways I would just hint at it this afternoon. Firstly, it means those that have been blessed with real spiritual blessings of pardon and of peace within. And the love of God. Come in. Thou blessed. Thou blessed. You may say, well, I don't feel to be a blessed character. I feel one of the worst of sinners. So do these souls. This is what the servant felt. But the second thing is this. In the sight of the Lord, his dear children are blessed characters. Oh, they are. What do we read in the Psalms? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. You read that beautiful sermon of the Lord Jesus, and we think of those many times he refers to it in his wonderful discourse. We read, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And then this, and he opened his mouth and taught them. And listen, what does he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the sight of the Lord, those poor in spirit are blessed characters in his sight. Not what they've done. Not just because they feel their poverty, but because he has loved them with an everlasting love. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Is there one here like that today? You know the things that make you mourn, but oh, you know a little of the comfort of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, to be a meek character. You often look at a little lamb or a little small animal, you know, and they're meek, aren't they? Helpless. They wouldn't hurt anything. Or a little babe, it's meek. And this is where the Lord brings his dear children. The religious professor is full of himself, like the Pharisees were. But oh, to be among these meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you like this child of God this afternoon? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Because in the sight of the Lord, you're a blessed character. That's not what I've said, this is what the Saviour said. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have those that are merciful people, characters, real in the things of God. Merciful, and they've tasted, what makes them merciful? They've tasted the sweet mercy of the Lord. And they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, to have that pure heart. You see, when the Lord puts his grace and fear in the sinner's heart, he gives them pure desires, pure longings, a pure appetite for the truth. And they desire pure things. They desire the pure truth, nothing but the truth. Pure in heart, washed in the precious blood of Jesus. For they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. Think of that this afternoon. Blessed are the peacemakers. I often think of what dear Mr. Clement Wood used to say. Are we a peacemaker or are we a peacebreaker? Solemn thing, you know, if we're a peacebreaker. But what a blessed thing to be a peacemaker. For they shall be called the children of God. And then he says, finally, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Oh, you know, some of the Lord's dear children know what it is when men revile them and persecute them and say all manner of evil against you falsely. The margin tells us concerning the word falsely, lying. For my sake. And then he gives this beautiful word concerning those that endure it. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Well, there we have those beautiful words of the Saviour concerning these blessed characters. And he said, come in, thou blessed. Thou blessed of the Lord. What a blessed invitation, wasn't it, to the dear servant. Thou blessed of the Lord. Then he goes further. For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. I have prepared the house. You know, I often thought of that house of Laban and Bethuel, you know. It was wonderfully prepared for this. Oh, it was. For the servant to come and for him to take Rebecca back to Isaac. But just a brief word on this, for I prepared the house. You know, there are many things we need preparing for. And only the Lord can prepare us. If we're to receive anything in our souls, from the Lord. He'll prepare our heart and soul to receive it. If it's comfort or encouragement, or whether it be for reproof or rebuke, he'll prepare us to receive it. It's like the ground when the husbandman sows his seed. He doesn't just cast it among weeds, does he? He prepares the ground. An old farmer that I used to do some ploughing 4 years ago in my teenage days, he used to say, I want you to plough it deep, boy. Bury all the rubbish. So we got a good tilth and soil depth to plant the seed. And there's a lot of truth in that, you know. I know there are places in the earth, like when we were in Canada, in prairie land, some of those lands, the parts of the land, because the depth of soil is so shallow. I remember one of the old farmers saying, he said, you know, we cannot plough it deep. We daren't plough it at all. Because if we did, we'd bury the good soil that's on the top. He said, all we do is cultivate it. Get a good tilth on the top and then sow the seed. But the vital thing is the preparation, you see. And then he prepares his dear people for the blessing. So when he sends the blessing, their soul is prepared and they're full of it. The joys of heaven sent down and tasted below. But then he prepares the church like he did the house of Laban and Bethuel for this servant. He'll prepare the church to receive sinners. Oh, he will. I always say when we have those to join the church, whether it be here or elsewhere, and I thought about only the other day, you know, one came and I thought about it so much, you know. I always say, you're not here before judges, we're all poor sinners. And the Lord will prepare his church, like he did the house of Laban and Bethuel, to receive the servant. Wonderful thing that is, you know. But then there'll be those, you see, that won't be surprised when they come. The house is prepared. And there's room, you see. The day I come, where will not be room? I remember dear Mr. Mulvey preaching at Stapler some years ago now, and I took the desk at the time, and I shall never forget him preaching from that. And yet there is room. And there's one thing that he said before he left the subject. There will not always be room. You think of how solemn. There will not always be room. Here the Lord wonderfully prepared the house, and there was room even for the camels, the most unlikely characters to enter into it. But he prepared the house. And we hope to sing it later, if I remember rightly. Let not conscience make you linger, or fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. So we hear of some of the young ones that have come forward in the last few days and weeks. You know, it's wonderful, really. You know, there's no time like the youth, really. The older we get, the more sin there is to keep us back. The devil will make havoc. But when we're young in the love of Christ, it's far easier to come then. We know there are exceptional cases, like I mentioned before, my late dear grandfather, but, you know, it's in that first love. But let me just, before I leave it, the time's nearly gone, but I haven't got far. Think of this dear soul, Rebecca. The house of Laban, it was a great thing for them to let her go. But they wanted her to tarry at 10 days at least, didn't they? That's what her mother said. You could well understand it naturally. But what did the servant say? And if I remember rightly, when I baptised Miss Gould here, back in my probation period, you know, I preach from it. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. That's what the servant said. And they said, we will ask Rebecca and inquire at her mouth. And what did she say? They said to her this important question, and I lovingly say it today. Wilt thou go with this man? Now, let us pause. This man, the servant, was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Wilt thou go with this man? What did Elijah say on Mount Carmel? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. Why halt ye between two opinions? Had she got to stay in the house or go with the servant? They would inquire at her mouth. And what did she say? Not a lot of words, was it? 3 words. And everything was in them. I will go. The Lord had made her, you see, willing. I will go. And she ventures, doesn't she, to go with the servant. And you look how wonderfully the Lord had gone before and prepared Isaac there to receive her. And, oh, the blessing of heaven descended. Well, may the Holy Spirit apply this text to us. I think of the late Mrs. Gurney at Ashwell, you know, when she was so exercised in her early days regarding the sacred step of baptism. She prayed that the servant of God would come with that word, and that she, as she was to go through the waters and then to sit at the Lord's table, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels, and the dear servant of God preached from it. You see, the same God rules today, as he did here with the servant and with Rebecca. And he alone can constrain his dear children. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the word. And may we be like the servant and give God the glory. The benefit is ours. The praise belongs to him.